You are listening to another Screenfish One-on-One, this time live with director Jordi Sabah and star Jess Salguero. Jordi and Jess come together in the new film Canadian Strain, which tells the story of Anne, a young drug dealer struggling at the time of the Canadian legalization of marijuana. In this one-on-one, we get to speak to Jess and Jordi about the biggest misconceptions about drug dealers that they learned, the challenges in shooting the entire film over a span of 9 days, and what integrity looks like in this world. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to Screenfish. Hi, Jordi. Hi, Jess.
How are
you? I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you.
This is a wild time for us to be having this conversation, so I appreciate you taking the time.
Oh my gosh. I mean, what else is there to do? But yeah.
Always.
I'm glad that we're still able to function like this. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. Canadian Strain is a really fun... fun is an interesting word to use because there was a lot of emotion into the film, more than I expected, actually. What made you want to tell to Jordi? What made you want to tell the story? And Jess, what made you want to be a part of it?
Well, yes, I know it's billed as a commie. I get it. Natalie, who played our gangster, definitely said that on set. I thought this was supposed to be a comedy. Why is there a guy tied up behind me? it's like, just roll a bit. Yeah, don't worry about it. So what made me want to tell a story? Well, Steve, like, so I came basically to the world of cannabis as an outsider, to be honest with you. I'm not a user, nor did I have sort of any strong feelings around legalization. But I certainly supported the idea. You know, I'd lived in the Netherlands for a year, so I knew kind of a little bit how it all worked. But what really sort of triggered it was just a simple question, like when they said, hey, it's going to be legal. I was like, oh, I wonder what happens to all the dealers now. And it just nagged me a bit. It wouldn't go away. So I sort of went down the Google path of, you know, over information. And I sort of found this, like, very diverse community of, like, pure cannabis advocates that have fought for years, you know, to make this all happen. And then we're now facing, you know, they certainly deserve to reap the benefits. But as you picked up, you know, quickly big corporations moved in and the government took over dealing. And so they all benefited and that group sort of got wiped out. And I thought it was a very Shakespearean twist and it had a lot of relevance to me. And also to Jess, that she could speak to, because we're all from sort of entrepreneurial families, small business families. So I certainly remember growing up that sort of ceiling that my parents hit because they didn't have enough money or power to kind of manipulate, you know, move in the bigger system, in the bigger world. And so I definitely saw a lot of similarities to that. And then finally, I mean, come on, once the government started a committee on how to deal weed, the jokes just wrote themselves after that, right? Like, the hits just kept coming. I didn't have to really dig for the comedy of the situation. I mean, it's so Canadian. And, you know, and when I was in L.A. trying to explain the concept of the beer store or the LCBO or, like, what exactly the government was doing now, like, they were going to just deal weed. I mean, people just thought I was out to lunch. Like, they didn't understand what was going on with the system. So it's like, what? You have to go to a store to buy it. So I just felt, yeah, this is something I can write about, and it's something that the rest of the world will have a good laugh at. And then Jess got involved, yeah, brought in.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Well, there were several reasons why this script attracted me. On the topic of cannabis, just the fact that a story, or I had never heard it or seen it told before, where it wasn't just a stoner film, actually has to do with the connection between a dealer and their client, and also that marijuana to many people operates outside of the classic, you know, drug numb out formula. Like it can be to many people seen as a sacred plant that actually has a lot of healing properties. And there was something about that I found really interesting, because I found that there was kind of a respect and a reverence in telling this story. And also the fact that it was a female dealer was so interesting to me, because I had never seen a woman in this role on screen. We classically see men occupying these spaces. So I just found that to be something really attractive. And as an actor and as a performer and as an artist, that those are the kind of that's the kind of stories I want to tell. I want to be in those spaces where you don't normally see a woman, something that that kind of starts to shatter our whole idea of gender roles and where women belong in society and where men belong. So,
sure. Yeah. Sure. And, you know, one of the things I was wondering, Jess, is like, were there any misconceptions that you or things that you discovered about dealers or about this culture that you learned through the process of the film?
Something that I think I hadn't thought about, to be honest, was how it would be different for a woman than for a man in terms of going into people's homes, definitely operating in the illegal world. There's a lot of vulnerability that I just had never thought about. Personally, I hadn't met a female dealer until this process. And so that was really interesting to me.
Yeah.
Also that I think there's sometimes, I mean, maybe not from me, but from other people, an assumption that if you deal drugs, then you probably deal many different kinds of narcotics or you have connections to anything. And that's not necessarily true. There are people that just operate in the cannabis world.
Yeah, and see, I targeted those particular people too in the movie because I felt like there was, you know, again, I went to the purists who had really were only dealing in cannabis and were really fighting for legalization to come out of the shadows and make and treat it. So I really wanted to talk about those particular, that particular group. Obviously, Jess is totally right. Other the dealers who dealt in everything just continue to deal in everything.
Yeah,
and you know, picked up other pieces. So I wanted, and the Cheech and Chongs of the world, those movies had been made. So it was, we kind of all focused on sort of the purists and also focusing on like adult use of cannabis rather than the typical sort of Dazed and Confused, you know, Cheech and Chong, Pineapple Express that we've all known, but sort of picking up on the more adult oriented use of cannabis. I don't know how else to phrase that, but I hope that kind of, you know where I'm going with that.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. That comes across in the film. I thought that the way that you handled this was honestly unlike anything I've ever seen in a film.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I mean that. Like, usually it's either thrown in there as a scene just to give somebody a buzz or the character's a stoner, but I mean, the character of Anne in general and her clients is just so, it's such a unique expression of it. Like, you've really framed it much more of a small business than as, it's so normalized. And I thought that, like, I love her character, by the way. I have to say, Jess, I thought you were wonderful, and I thought the character of Anne was just written so well.
Oh, like, thank you so much.
Yeah, I mean that. I was wondering, Jordy, how did you know you found your Anne in Jess? And Jess, how did you prepare for the role?
First of all, it's totally not weird that you respect her so much. I don't think it's weird at all, Steve, that you mentioned that. I think it's totally cool that you respect her for the way she works her trade. I think Jess and I have worked together before, twice actually. So on my first feature film, she had a role in it, and then in a short, she had a role as well, which unfortunately we had to cut because of time for Bravo Fact. But so I've worked with Jess a couple times before, so, and she's always been amazing. And I don't, Jess, was that one of your earliest roles? I think Sunday Kind of Love as a on
oh film? Yeah, I'm trying to, yeah totally.
Mm-hmm. I think it was like one of her first or second, it's an early role. So we go way back, Steve. And so what basically happened is she gracefully volunteered to come out for a table read so we could, you know, figure out, it's always good to hear the words and figure out where it's going. And she kind of just made Anne her own within the table read.
Mm.
And it was just kind of clear as day that she could definitely, you know, she kind of delivered, and I'll let Jess speak the role, but for me, she delivered what you kind of picked up on, where she, you were able to kind of see her and her clientele for what they were, and you were still able to have empathy for her, respect her, see her as a small business owner. Like, Jess sort of brings all of that humanity to the table, and I feel really makes Anne a unique character, and gives, and through making her so unique, gives the audience a different perspective on cannabis than they otherwise would have never seen before. Even gender aside, you know, of course, gender is an additional layer to that, but let's even put that aside for a second and say, regardless of gender, I think Jess and Anne show a different perspective of this world than what we've seen before.
Mm-hmm.
Over to you, Jess.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks. Wow. okay, so how I prepared. Well, this whole process that happened pretty quickly in terms of going from table reads to shooting. I think it was like a few weeks, was it, Marty? Maybe.
Yeah, it wasn't very... You're about right. Yeah, like a month or so, just like not that long.
Yeah.
Between our table, we've kind of...
This was all within a month? Because I think I read in the notes that you guys shot in 9 days. Like...
Yeah.
That's ridiculously fast. I'm impressed.
Yeah, we'll come back to that, Steve. Just give her character, and then I'll add the layer of like what she actually had to put up with when she tells you where she went to. So yeah, we'll come back to that little caveat after a bit.
Well, okay. Besides, I mean, Jordy and I had quite a few conversations just about how we wanted to tell this. Also, he had interviewed some female dealers and would give me some information about his interviews and what he'd learned from them. But again, what we were talking about in terms of women occupying these spaces and how it's different. And also, I mean, not to be too explicit, but I spent a lot of time with people who have the same occupation as Anne, and definitely on the other side of the client, and actually revisiting and remembering how there is something really special about the connection that can be formed when you trust somebody, and they're coming into your home often, and you have this kind of routine and this this trust, this reliability, and so just kind of remembering what that was, and then then inventing what it would be to be on the other side, so to be the person entering people's homes. Also, in terms of things when it's a quick turnaround, when we're doing something pretty quickly, and also definitely erring on the comedy side, there is an element of me just having to really trust my instincts. If I don't have months and months to prepare something, going through these different workshops with the director about exactly what we're going to do, it's really, for me, it becomes a lot about me getting out of my own way.
Right.
And trusting that it's there in the writing, and it's there with the other actors I'm working with, because I loved this cast, and I had worked with several of them before, and I knew that everyone was going to bring it. So it's an element of hiring the right people,
right,
and knowing that they can get the job done. But yeah, as Freddie was about to say, we shot pretty quickly, and in that way, I just had to sit in it. Like in a way, there's an advantage to shooting really densely and quick, in that I don't have a second to kind of leave that world. I'm in it.
Right. That makes sense. It must be sort of immersive. I'm sorry.
No, absolutely. And if I can talk a little bit more about. I mean, Jordy, you can talk about how we filmed if you want, and I can add how something about this guerrilla style of filming also added to the whole world of even Anne. you know?
Yeah, so Steve, for context, I'm sure it's in the notes, but basically, yeah, we shot in 9 days the whole film, so we were burning about 10 to 15 pages a day with at least 1 to 2 location moves. We were a crew of 4, so myself, producer Ashley, cinematographer and a sound, and occasionally we had a wardrobe person on certain days. We had no makeup, no grip, no gaffer. I just basically, Ashley and I filled in all the other fun Hollywood roles, from PAing to doing props. Like, I was making all the props and craft, and I'd set up a craft table in the morning and clean the washrooms and all that before we get to put on the director hat. And so we basically were running, gunning it, and that was kind of how we shot the film. And it definitely is a... My previous one was 12 days, my previous feature, so and 20 grand, and this time we had 10 grand. So as a filmmaker, I'm going in the wrong direction for my career. But anyway, it was just chaotic and fun, and it was, yeah, and Jess can talk how she operated in that environment.
Well, to be honest, like, it was really fun because there were certain things that we were just doing on the fly. Like, I don't know if I could, I think it's fine to say, Jordy, stop me if it's not, but there was a couple times where we're like walking past the Shoppers Drug Mart and there's like this perfect poster in the window of like the senior citizens and advertising for their points or whatever. And there was just like, we're like, oh, amazing, this sign's here, okay, great. And I just give it the finger. And there were just like these moments where we were just like, yeah, okay, let's do it. This works. This will be funny. And like the train outside of the brewery, yeah. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
The CN. Yeah, there's, what's the brewery called again? Steam Whistle.
Steam Whistle.
There's like a old train car parked there.
I recognize that.
Serves Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah, serving Canada or whatever. And we were shooting in the rec room, which is right there. And we were leaving the location. We're like, oh, man, this is amazing. Let's just... And Jordy's like, light up a joint, sit on there. Let's, like, this is it. This is a scene. And it was so great. So... There's a lot of moments like that.
I actually enjoy the movie more now, actually, because I thought, you know, hearing you guys talk about it, the fact that you were able to pull that together so quickly is just remarkable. That's incredible. And it works. It works. Like, there, you know, like those little scenes, like you talk about right out in front of the rec room. I saw that and I went, I know where that is, but that makes sense. It works so well, and that was on the fly. That was really neat. That's really interesting.
Also, there was a scene, we're in, like, a stadium, right?
Yeah.
Like a soccer stadium kind of thing?
Yeah.
There was no one around, and Jody's like, just, like, go into the center of the field, and there was a big Ontario emblem painted on the field, and so our DP just, like, got high up on the risers, and there's this like really cool wide shot of me just sitting in the middle of this Ontario logo or emblem or whatever, and that was also just on the fly.
That's crazy.
Now I won't break your heart. It wasn't on the fly, Steve, that one, or the Shoppers, but whatever. I'm so glad Jess found it was on the fly. It made the performance that much better.
Well, now I like
the film. The train was on the fly, but
smoking weed during the filming of this, I swear.
That's right.
Well, now I like the film less.
Some of those were very planned, but that was part. That's the only way we could survive because I had to do in 9 days. You have no room for error, so we had to prep. I had to prep everything, every shot, and then at the same time, by doing that, as as Jess just said, like that CN thing, we're there and we're like, that's amazing. And because we only have one camera and, you know, one light, it's easy to set up quickly and get it. And by that point, Jess was just in it to win it because she was just going with it. And so we all just kind of were able to move quickly and recalibrate right away and quickly talk about where it would fall in the script and just get it. So yes, she's totally right. Some were, some were planned and others were not. And all of them kind of worked because we were just kind of moving as a unit by that point.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Jess,
we did get locked in that stadium for a bit though. So that wasn't planned because no one let us out. Wait, so we had to go and find our way out. So, you know, we're burning shooting time while we're trying to get out of the stadium. That was fun. So they let us in and then closed us in and forgot to let us out because there was no one around. So that was fun while we were quickly scrambling to kind of actually get out of the stadium to get onto the next shot. But yeah.
True.
That's a story I don't think I've ever heard from anybody.
The rugby team let us out. What? So big thanks to the Toronto rugby team for successfully letting us out of the stadium so we could keep going. But yeah.
That's a story I don't think I've ever heard anybody say in an interview is, yeah, we were filming and we got locked in where we were.
Right.
That's amazing.
I knew something happened. Something unpredictable happened. Okay.
Oh, yeah. There was always something. There were the coffee store where you were, where we had, that was operating still. So right behind the camera are people waiting to buy coffee, and we had to cut takes while people went in and bought because we couldn't shut down the business. And then there was one guy who sat behind and could like critique the film while we were making it, basically, which was loads of fun for me. That's what I need. And while we're making the film, all sorts of, you know, giving me armchair critic comments while we're trying to burn through it. And Jess and, you know, trying to put up with actual real customers, trying to, you know, gain character while people are buying their coffee. Yeah. So, oh yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Guys, I mean, this is incredible. I actually feel like I could talk about this film for another hour with you guys. I really do, and I appreciate that. I'm not going to hold you to do that, but I feel like I could. But just as we start to wrap up, I was wondering, Anne seems to have a real sort of integrity to her character. I was wondering what you think that means to her.
I find that really refreshing to read, especially when I think a lot of people believe that my generation, millennials, whatever, are that they maybe don't hold as much integrity as other generations and so forth. And I think that's what I really liked about this character. Is I was like, no, she has integrity. She does not want to sell out. She knows what feels right for her, and she's going to trust that, and she's going to lean into that, and she's going to go through the journey of staying true to that. And I found that really interesting, and there's something really beautiful about that story and that archetype, I guess, of, like, a strong warrior woman. Like, there was just something about that I found really interesting. And again, I think it really comes from the place that she doesn't view stealing as just a quick way to get cash. It's really about connection and healing. And that's I think that's an important piece of this story.
Yeah, I said to you guys before, I really respected her character. I really and the story is so unique. I think it's very strong. So thank you guys so much, both of you.
You.
Jordy, Jess, thank you for chatting with me. Now, it's available on iTunes and Google Play. Like, is it available on streaming services now? It's on demand?
It's on demand everywhere, yeah. It's on iTunes and all the on-demand services like the Rogers, the Telus, the Bell, the Shaw. Yeah, it's wherever you go for your
in Canada.
In Canada.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Well, thank you both so much. I really appreciate chatting with you. This has just been great, and I wish you the best for the film, because as I said, it truly is a unique film, and not what I expected in the best of ways. I really thought that it was enjoyable.
Well, thank you so much. And thanks
for
supporting us, Steve, and, you know, writing about it. And yeah, every bit helps for us, you know,
sure,
being the indie filmmakers that we are. So thank you so much.
No problem.
For, yeah.